Did you know that in only a few years, the poor Arabs of the Arabian Desert managed to defeat the greatest empire of its time? You see, in the year 629, in one of the last major events before the Muslims conquered Mecca, the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, sent an ambassador by the name of Al-Harith ibn Amr al-Azdi to the governor of Bosra, along with a letter from the Prophet himself inviting the governor to Islam. On his journey to Bosra, Al-Harith was intercepted by the Ghassanids, a Christian Arab tribe who ruled the modern-day region of Jordan under the protection of the Roman Empire. And when they learned about his mission, they kidnapped him and tortured him before their leader Shurahbil killed him with his own hands. In response, the Muslims then sent out an army of 3,000 Sahaba to meet the Ghassanids on the battlefield. And in response, the Ghassanids gathered their own men, and the Romans sent their own soldiers to back them up. The Muslims were now outnumbered at least 3-1, and when they met at the Battle of Mu'ta, all three of the commanders that the Prophet, peace be upon him, had put in charge of that battle were killed in the fighting. Zayd ibn Haritha, the Prophet's adopted orphan, Ja'far ibn Abi Talib, the brother of Ali, and Abdullah ibn Urayha, the great Sahabi, were all killed in the battle. And so Khalid ibn Walid then took control of the army and led them to safety. Those three Sahaba are still buried in Jordan till this day, and their deaths were never forgotten. 3 years later, in 632, after the farewell Hajj, the Prophet, peace be upon him, once again gathered an army of 3,000 men to fight the Romans and the Ghassanids to avenge their deaths. And this time he appointed Usama ibn Zayd as his commander, the son of the first commander who had perished in Mu'ta. But before he could send the army out, the Prophet, peace be upon him, passed away in 632. And so that task was left to the first caliph, Abu Bakr as-Siddiq. The army of Usama was then sent out, and what ensued was the first successful raid by the Muslims into the Byzantine territory. Encouraged by this success, Abu Bakr continued to send out armies in raids against the Byzantine Empire, and soon the Romans began sending their own armies out in response. Four Muslim armies attacked from the south, invading from southern Palestine, while Khalid ibn Walid, who had been attacking the Persians, now joined them with his army coming in from Syria in the north. But in the middle of all of this, Abu Bakr suddenly passed away, and he left Umar ibn Khattab in charge of the caliphate. Under Umar's leadership, the Muslims continued their campaigns, managing to capture the city of Damascus and conquering most of Palestine, Jordan, and Syria. In response, the Romans sent a massive army of up to 150,000 soldiers to fight the Muslims, who had a combined force of less than 40,000. Once again, the odds were stacked against the Muslims, outnumbered at least 3-1. But this time, they decided to engage the Romans on the battlefield and hold their ground. The two armies would meet near the Yarmouk River in August of 636, and soon their battle would begin. The Roman army consisted of four units, each under a separate commander. To match this, the Muslim army was divided into four, but the Muslims had much fewer troops in their ranks. Throughout the six-day battle, the Muslims defended as the Romans attacked head-on, often pushing the Muslims back to their camps. But whenever it looked like one of the Muslim units was about to suffer defeat, Khalid would send his cavalry on horseback to outflank the Romans, attacking them from multiple sides and forcing them into a retreat. On the sixth day of the battle, the Romans charged the Muslims once again, but this time Khalid had made some changes to his cavalry. Instead of spreading them out against the four units of the army, he combined them into one unit, placing them on the right flank. When the Romans charged once again, the cavalry attacked them from the side, mowing them down and forcing them into a final retreat. Predicting this, he had secretly ordered 500 men to sneak behind the Romans the previous night, and now they too were sprung into action. The Romans were surrounded, and over half of their army now lay dead in the battlefield, while only a fifth of the Muslim army was lost. Khalid had played a skillful strategy, one that required precise timing and perfect decision-making in the moment, and for the Romans, it had been death by a thousand cuts. With the main army of the Byzantines now defeated, the Muslims were able to complete their conquest of Syria and Palestine, and they eventually captured Jerusalem a year later in 637. Growing confident from their success, the commander of one of the armies, Amr ibn As, suggested that they continue their attacks on the Byzantine Empire, where they held control over Egypt and North Africa. Amr was then given permission to enter Egypt in 639, but just as he was about to cross into Egyptian soil an emissary caught up to his army carrying with him a letter from Umar. In that letter, Umar had changed his mind and said that they should return back to Arabia to help the other Muslim armies in their objectives. But if the army had already arrived in Egypt by the time they received the letter, he gave them permission to stay. Amr had a feeling as to what might be written in the letter, and so he told the emissary to allow him to finish marching with his troops for the day before opening and reading it. That day, Amr ordered his men to march as far as they could before nightfall, making sure they were well within Egypt's borders. And then, after having read the letter, they decided that permission to stay in Egypt had been given. Over the next 3 years, Amr and his 4,000 soldiers managed to conquer much of Egypt and defeat the Romans, taking the cities of Memphis and Heliopolis in Babylon, before eventually putting Alexandria under siege. Soon he was reinforced by Zubair ibn Awam and another 4,000 soldiers under him. Alexandria was the last bastion of Roman influence in Egypt, and in 641 the Muslims managed to capture that too. Now both Egypt and Syria and Palestine had been wrestled from the control of the Romans, and they were now firmly under Muslim control. And because these lands had expert sailors in their ranks, the Muslims now decided on a new strategy, fighting both on land and at sea. In 644, Uthman ibn Affan was elected the third caliph, and he began the construction of a navy which set out on its first mission, briefly capturing Cyprus and Rhodes in 649. To commemorate this, there is even a masjid on the beach of Cyprus by the grave of Umm Haram, the aunt of the Prophet, peace be upon him, who had died during this expedition. For the next 60 years, the Muslims managed to expand their empire across the rest of North Africa and deep into Portugal and Spain. The Muslims now surrounded the Mediterranean on three sides, and they began advancing and improving their navies to attack the Byzantines in the north. In 674, they launched their first attack against Constantinople, putting the city under siege, but this attack failed. There, famously, one of the last Sahaba alive joined them in the fight, and eventually he fell ill in battle, and his dying wish was to be buried at the foot of Constantinople. And so the Muslim army pushed back the enemy's forces until they reached the walls of the city, where they buried Abu Ayyub al-Ansari. His grave is thought to still be there till this day. Once again, they then attacked the capital city in 717, and once again, this was unsuccessful. Deciding on a new strategy, the Muslims began chipping away at Byzantine control throughout the Mediterranean Sea. They attacked and took control of Crete in 820 and Sicily in 831. In 840 and 847, they captured the Italian cities of Taranto and Bari, creating a short-lived emirate in southern Italy. By 870, the country of Malta was brought under the Muslim control, and throughout all of this time, in a really bizarre agreement, the Byzantines and the Arabs shared control of the island of Cyprus, even though there was war between them blazing all around. Over the last 300 years, the Muslims had managed to defeat the Romans and push them out of Syria and Palestine and Egypt and North Africa, and they continued to harass them in the sea, capturing many strategic islands and setting up new emirates throughout the Mediterranean. And now, all they needed to do was capture Constantinople, and the Byzantine threat would be completely wiped out. The Arabs, the Persians, the Kurds, and the Amazigh had accomplished so much thus far, but for that final effort, it would be the Turks who would carry the torch. And when they arrived from Central Asia, they began a new campaign against the Romans like no other. One that would culminate in the rise of the Ottoman Empire, and one sultan in particular who would soon be known as Mehmed the Conqueror. Like it all for more Muslim Facts.